Turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians and the fourth chapter. Very familiar verses that we're going to read this morning. But we're going to look at this in a way that perhaps you hadn't considered. Perhaps that you sort of just went over, and we've preached on this many times, but not in facing it this way, let's say it that way. Let's go ahead and stand for the reading of the Word. I'm just going to read two verses. We're just going to look at two verses and really just one. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, and we'll call today's message Attacking Anxiety with Prayer. Attacking Anxiety with Prayer. Hear what God says, and then let Him speak grace to you. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Father, for the sake and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit, triune God, breathe and speak through me and into our hearts. Create life. Let there be life here today. This we pray again in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. You may be seated. So, when you talk about anxiety, yes, there's chemical things, there's physiological things and all of that. And we might get into some of that, but you don't have to go very far in an illustration for people to know what you mean by anxiety. You start ninth grade now. Now, you knew all the kids in eighth grade. Now, you got kids from all the middle schools. You've got a little bit of, whoo, your stomach. You got butterflies. Exactly. You see that, well, we had the one hurricane. Now another's coming, and the creek is rising over here right near our church. And, oh, what are we going to do? And there's anxiety. You see what's going on in the government or what they might do to religious liberty or what they might do to, are they going to use nuclear weapons and all of this, let alone the fact that in your life you have people that are sick or dying or not well in their mind or their, you know, whatever it may be. Do I have to go very far to know? No, you don't even have to go outside. Just read Facebook and how everybody's parading their anger, bitterness, contempt, and despair. And anxiety. The opportunity, wow, think of that as an opportunity. The opportunity for anxiety is always all around you, is it not? Now, here's the thing. I want to set you free today. Not that I'm going to get rid of all your anxiety. This passage doesn't say you're going to get rid of all your anxiety. But it's saying what to do when you do have it. Because even the strongest people have it. They just maybe pretend they don't. You think they have it all together. They don't. That's why we share with you sometimes. I ain't got it all together either. That way you're not trying to be like me. You're trying to say, who is he gone to? Where can I get some of that? Because otherwise, right? All you're doing is anxious all the time. All sorts of ways and means to deal with it or avoid it, you know. We try to escape this way. We're broken. We've talked about that. You try to get rid of anxiety by just, you know, you're just going to shut everything off. You're going to slow down. I need a vacation, or I need a few peers, or whatever it may be, or, you know, 6 steps to dealing with stress or whatever. There's lots of things out there that people are talking about. Why? Because everybody has got it. Plenty to be anxious about. Can I get an amen? Amen. But here's the thing. What does God say about it? No, he uses, see, that's the problem. That's the problem. Here in the text it says, do not be anxious about anything. Okay, that's the end of that. Oh my. I mean, I don't like it. Can I say that? I don't like it. I look at it and I think, wait a minute. There's a problem here. It looks like I'm being asked to do something that's already happened. That's exactly right. You're being asked to do what you've already done, not to do what you've already done. How can you deal with don't be anxious when you're already anxious? This makes you even more anxious, and now you feel worse. Now you might be angry and depressed as well as you are anxious. What are you going to do about that? How's this text going to help you? But before we even get into the text, I want to talk to you about how you hear the Word of God. Because this is what happens when you hear this text as law instead of hearing this text as grace. Now, let me explain the huge difference that this is going to make in your life. And we need to show this with our young people so they just don't hear don't. Society keeps saying do. What where do you come down with this? How does God help you with this? See, when you're hearing this text as law, do not be anxious about anything. You feel condemnation about feeling anxious. Your mind says, stop it. Don't you know that God's in control, that he loves you, that all things work together for good? Don't you read the Bible? The Bible's telling you not to be anxious, that it's a sin to panic. You don't have enough faith. And so this text loses its power in your life. You just skip over it, think, this is not for me. I don't have the faith to deal with this. It says, do not be anxious about anything, and I'm anxious about everything. Now I'm anxious about being anxious. Now here's what happens when you're hearing the text as grace. Instead of feeling condemnation for feeling anxious, you feel comfort and encouragement when you do feel anxious. Now you're hearing Jesus say, let me help you. You don't have to feel this alone. I know what it's like. Do what I did. Go to God. He wants to give you peace even as you are going through this. You can stop anxiety from taking over your life. Even when worry is trying to wear you down, I promise. And this text now gains power in your life. Instead of the text losing power, the text gets hold of you and you gain power in this life. Now, you can apply this principle whenever you see a text and you're immediately overwhelmed by it. And you think, you can't do it and God must not be happy with you. I wish I could just leave right now and everybody go, whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah. Think about it now. Instead of being beat down, you can be built up and hopeful, encouraged, and empowered. You can look at the text and say, God can use this to help me and know him by the power of his grace. Here's the principle. You ready? Law makes you lose. Grace makes you gain. Law makes you lose. Grace makes you gain. So when you hear this as law, you're thinking, don't be anxious. And you don't even see that. You check out of the rest of the verse. Like someone comes up and says, I can't stand the way you look. And they might be saying something about, you look great. Right? But you all you heard was, I can't stand the way you look. So you start thinking, okay, I can't even think about it. Right? You start thinking of everything, whatever. Because you're hearing law. Or if you made a dress for yourself, and it looks wonderful. And someone says, oh, that's so nice. Did you make it yourself? And you were all anxious about it. So now you're thinking, oh, see, they are not nice. And oh, is it not good enough to be store-bought? Whatever. See, it's how you're hearing it. When you hear God telling you certain things, don't be anxious, and you hear just law, then you think, well, everybody else is against me. The Bible's against me. God's not happy with me. You might even go, this is why I'm sick. Maybe this, that, or the other thing. So many things. But when you hear grace, you hear what's really saying in the text. He's saying something. If you look at the context there, that Yodi and Syntyche were not agreeing on something. It could have been the color of the church. Amen. It could have been whatever. More than half of our votes were for one color, though, so we're doing it. But anyway. But you can be anxious about it. And he says, not don't be anxious about anything, as in you're never allowed to be anxious. He's saying, stop being anxious and let me show you how. Amen. That's what he's saying. He's not saying anxious never comes to you. Anxious comes to everybody, including Jesus, which we're going to look at. So he's not saying, see, when you do that, though, you see it that way. I can't stand the way you look. And it could be me just being facetious and being happy and we're being sarcastic with each other and it's in our little group, but somebody else heard it and heard, oh my goodness, he hates his wife. Or I joke about being short and everybody comes, oh, it's really not that bad. Really, believe me, let me just say this for the record. I don't give a flip. It doesn't matter at all. I'm 51 years old. I've gotten used to it. I want to use that thing. It's like Paul being in the wheelchair. Oh no. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. It just is what it is. You don't have to coddle it. The best thing to do is act like it doesn't. There's no difference. Because it really isn't when it comes down to it. You know? That's the thing. It depends on if you're hearing law or grace, though, that how you approach the text. And so he's not saying, don't be anxious or thou shalt not enter the kingdom of heaven or whatever you're hearing. He's saying, guys, let me help you stop being anxious, and let me show you. Law makes you lose, grace makes you gain. Now, again, this text isn't teaching you how to be free from all anxiety. It's God telling you what to do whenever you have anxiety. Don't beat yourself up. Anxiety is not necessarily a sin. We all worry at times. Even Jesus, again, experienced anxiety. When? The night before his crucifixion. He was filled with dread. He was so anxious, it says, he sweat great drops of blood. But when Jesus felt anxious, he turned to prayer. He didn't turn to sin. You know, like there's a pin on the pressure valve, and the release of the pin is not sin, it's prayer. And we need to take him as our example of what to do. You see, the problem is not the struggle. The problem is not that you have anxiety. The problem is when you don't go to God with it. And you think, no, I do go to God with it. And maybe you have gone to God with it. It just doesn't seem to work. Because it's not like he's telling them something they don't know. Pray. Get together with other people that are saved and pray about this thing. We do. I've prayed about it. I've prayed about it. You ever notice people, I prayed about it just to, and then they just do what they want to do anyway? They just come to you trying to get you to ratify. Well, Pastor, I think this. Yeah, you've already got your mind made up. You ever changed your mind about prayer? I have. Not that we always do, but we better be ready to. See, here, in this text, God is telling you how to go to him with it. Do I have anybody's attention? And then you're going to see him work. He promises, and I'm going to show you. He's giving you solid steps, something to cling to when your world is in a whirlwind. It's like concrete in the chaos. Again, this is not a way to never have anxiety. This is a way to deal with sudden anxiety. Right? And a way to combat seasonal anxiety. Along the way of prayer, you're going to learn to identify the triggers of your anxiety. And God works through means. So part of what you're going to do, and part of what God's going to lead you to, is to tell you you need to get better sleep, eat better, and all that. Healthy life habits and pursuing emotional and relational maturity in areas of your life where you might be lacking. Hang around the right people, folks. Someone's always anxious around you, you need to talk to them about that. Anxiety requires a holistic approach. Still, because here we go, now we're going to get to the text. Even when you have all your I's dotted and T's crossed, all your ducks in a row, there are times when anxiety will attack you. But here in this text, he tells you how to attack it. Don't we want to do that? Wouldn't you rather just on the defensive and anxiety's got me? You go, go at it, man. That's what I want. I'm a guy, so maybe I like to do that. When Goliath comes at me, I don't want to just, I want to get that sword. I want to get that. I go do whatever, those five stones, whatever. I want to go at the thing. Peace is not the lack of conflict. Peace is in the face of conflict. Courage is not the lack of fear. Courage is in the face of fear. Paul is saying, don't just give in to anxiety. Attack the thing. It's coming at you. You've got something stronger than it. So, what does he say? Four things. Number one, pray. They all begin with pray instantly. Instantly. Look what he says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer. No matter what it is, how big or how little, how silly or how serious it may seem to you, don't wait to pray. Right then, in that instant. That's why I said instantly. Whenever the instant comes upon you, it's the middle of the night, and you think, did I turn the oven off? Well, go run to it and pray. Well, you didn't. Don't wait to pray. In that very moment when you feel anxious, don't sit there and stew over the problems you or loved ones or what's happening out there in the universe. Ask for God. Ask God to help you as soon as you identify a need. You've got a little, okay, you're going over a bridge, and you're afraid of bridges. And here it is, you're crossing the mighty Mississippi. See, some of us have that. Some of us didn't have that until we made fun of somebody that did have that, and then God put it on us, which is a true story, which is, and I'm sitting there froze on my honeymoon, and that is, oh, well, anyway. God told me. But what you do is you pray right then. Pray right then. Praise is coming up because you know. You're anxious. I'm here I am in Memphis, and it's coming up, and I know it's coming. But now Margie's not with me. Now my grandkids are with me. I'm coming the back way. You know, I'm coming towards Memphis. And pray instantly. Ask God for help as soon as you identify a need. Amen. And you don't have to wait till you feel anxiety creeping around your door. Because it will. It'll knock on that door. Anxiety. Don't open the blinds and open the window and look for it. You know, the Bible drives out fear. That means fear drives up into the driveway. You got to drive it out. You got to drive anxiety out. As soon as it hits your door, you hit your knees. But you don't have to wait till you feel that. You can be proactive. You can pray for yourself or someone you love when you know difficulty lies ahead. Oh, I know when I announce the color of the church today, some people are going to have a big old issue, so I'm praying ahead of time. Now, here's the thing. You think, I said my Mickey Mouse prayer, forgive me. And now I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. There's more here to this. We think, okay, everything by prayer. I know the rest of it, supplication, whatever. Yeah, yeah, Thanksgiving. Yeah, thank you, Lord. I can know I can pray. Yay! I'm waiting on God. Don't use waiting on God as an excuse to be passive. Get active, and here's the second thing. This gets better and better as we go. Get specific. First one was pray instantly. Second one, pray specifically. He says, with prayer and supplication, make your requests. And this is talking about a single thing. Because right then they needed to pray for unity. What is your single thing? But so much, I can't love it. There we go. Here we go. Let me show you this. Some of you old saints are going to use some terms. You go, where's that term been? Pray through. This is going to be this. When you break your concerns down to specific requests, they become the right size to deal with. See, you get overwhelmed by thinking of all your issues all at once. You see that gigantic tree, that gigantic mountain, you think, I'll never get to the top of the mountain. If you don't start climbing, you won't. I had someone describe something to me, and they felt like they were in a pit. And the pit was like an ice. They were like in this tomb. And they were describing, I'm not going to be able to get out of it because it's this financial thing. And there's just no way. Because even if I did this and this and this happened to me, I'll never climb out. And I said, I had to say, you're right. It won't happen. But say, God, I don't know exactly what to do, but I'm going to start clawing on that ice. And maybe one day I'll get traction, and then it maybe won't be as high as I thought. Then maybe, as I'm clawing, someone outside that thing will hear it, me claw, and then put a rope down. Maybe I'll just make it start sweating, and there'll be something open on the bottom. It'll come, whatever. You start praying specifically. It's like, the first thing you can pray about is, I'm anxious. Right? You bring that to them. Lord, I'm anxious. Then what I'm anxious about? I'm anxious because I don't see this happening. I'm anxious because I know this person has never said yes to this request, and I have to make this request, and I'm worried that they're going to say no again. And if they do so, things aren't going to go well for me. I mean, do I have to make up something? Let the Holy Spirit apply that. You got it in your head already, right? Everybody's anxious about something. If I said, everybody raise your hands, it's anxious, someone would raise it just because wouldn't raise it because they're anxious. I mean, but we get overwhelmed by thinking we got to do all of it all at once. Instead of thinking it can't be done, pray for your needs one by one. You see, supplication here means petition. That's the petition part. There's lots of things involved in prayer, but the supplication means your petition. And this aspect is part of your spiritual battle. This is about a particular petition given about a particular request. It's one thing. Somebody say one thing. One thing. What would happen in here in Philippians 4? I pray that Euodia and Syntyche can agree. And then you go from there. You see, it can continue to more than one thing, but it starts with one thing. Don't pray, Lord, I can pray I make it to the top of the mountain. Lord, I pray that the Sherpa is there and that we have the right supplies. Lord, I pray that there isn't a crosswind so that we can go a little farther. I've never climbed a mountain except with Dan. We climbed a hill. Anyway. But you know, you start doing it little by little. I pray that the weather is good Saturday so we can have our progressive dinner. I pray that everybody that's supposed to be making stuff makes the right and enough stuff. I pray, Lord, that when we do the carpool, everybody doesn't just go their own single cars. I pray that we don't get some kind of ticket for parking in somebody else's driveway. I pray for this. I pray for this. You say, but I'm making myself more anxious by doing that. No. Not necessarily. You pray to God, telling him you're anxious, and then telling him exactly what it is that is bothering you. I'm anxious because I've got a C in math, and my dad said, if I bring home another C, I can't drive the car for a week. Lord, I'm anxious because I know this, and I have this date, finally. They said when I turn 16, I can have a date, and now I can, and now, my life is over. And if I don't take this boy this one time at this one concert, then I'll never have a good guy ever again. And I know you want someone for me, Lord. Yeah, okay. We never do things like that. We do them as adults, and you know it. Come on, teenagers, I'm talking to you too. Old people, young people, everybody. The point is that in your prayers, you take one thing at a time to God. This is about being specific. Nothing is too great for God to conquer or too small for God to care. Maybe you need to get that in your head. Nothing's too small for God to care. Nothing's too great for Him to conquer. What is making you anxious? What are you anxious about? What is it that you want God to do? Let me give you a little secret that's implied in the text. He's trying to get you to slow down. You're revving yourself up, ramping and amping, I call it, by your own whatever is going on, and you're making it worse thinking things that probably aren't even going to happen or that other people aren't thinking and all of that. Take it down a notch. Get on your knees. Get slow with God. As you feel that anxiety, you take that very thing and whatever it is, causing it to God. And then, as you continue in prayer, when other things come to your mind, you take those to God, one by one. Now, in case you never realized it, you ever, people say, well, you know, I prayed, and I prayed for 6 hours, and you're like, you show off. I can't pray for 6 minutes without start thinking about the Flintstones or something, you know? Or what's for supper, you know? Distraction, deception, destruction, that's the pattern. But anyway, in case you've ever wondered how people can pray for hours at a time, this is how. This is how. They slow down and take the time to take it all to God. One person, one issue, one problem, one feeling, one possibility, one anxiety, one fear, one event, one circumstance, one situation, one aspect, one thing at a time. Take the time to do it right. This is what is meant by the expression, pray through. Pray through. Pray through the whole thing. Doesn't mean that you always have to pray for hours at a time or that short prayers aren't good prayers. They can be very good prayers. I'm feeling anxious right now because I'm afraid I'm wearing not enough to this event. That it's supposed to be black tie, I think, and I came just with business casual. Right? Pray about it right then. And you start making plans. Okay, I got 15 minutes. I can go do this. I can go borrow somebody else's tie, whatever it is. And you get in. Usually it's not, doesn't matter anyway. There's always someone wearing flip-flops no matter where you go, it seems. No, this is about praying instantly and specifically. Okay? First thing, pray instantly. Second thing, pray specifically. And you're not alone. That's the third thing. Pray instantly. Pray specifically. Pray mutually. Mutually. Someone say mutually. Mutually. It says your requests, your hearts, your minds. This is praying for others and with others. Anybody with me? Amen. When you pray about the problems others have and get them to pray for yours, your concerns become more manageable. You ask a friend to pray for your wayward child or sick relative. Or when you're alone and that moment of anxiety attacks, you text someone right then. It does happen to me. You guys do it all the time. I'm glad. Something happens right then, send it right then. I just found out my sister went to the hospital and they don't know what's going on. They're trying to get her fever down. Boom, I prayed for that. You ask about something specific. Now maybe ask one person to pray about one part of the problem and another person to pray about another problem, part of it. I'm praying for my sister because they can't get her fever down. Boom. You tell the next person. I'm praying for my sister because there's something going on with her kidneys. Boom. I'm praying for them because they don't have insurance. Boom. Right? Pray instantly, specifically, and mutually. And you get other people to pray and we get this thing going. And a lot of us do so wonderful at that. This is something you are doing and that's good. But many hands make for a lighter load. And you can be thankful for the prayers of others. And that brings us to our fourth point. Pray thankfully, instantly, specifically, mutually, and thankfully. He says, with thanksgiving. Now, here, ready? Everybody ready? Here's a weapon for you. Here's something maybe you haven't thought about. Anxiety and thankfulness cannot occupy the same space. Anxiety, and I'm going to do some math for you and show you something that cannot be refuted. Anxiety and thankfulness cannot occupy the same space. So you fill up your space with gratitude and you drown out anxiety. When you count your blessings, your burdens get lighter. Do it this way. Make a praise list and the problems list automatically gets smaller. If you have three things you're worried about, worry, 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 worry one, worry two, worry three. Okay, praise one, praise two, praise three, praise four, praise five, praise six. Now you got nine things you're thinking about. Only three of them, instead of 100% worry, 100% anxiety, it's only one-third anxiety now because two-thirds of it's praise. Do the math. Do the math. Get that space for grace going. You can always be thankful about Jesus. And he gives you the opportunity. And it goes further. We're not done. Anybody with me? Fill up the space with gratitude. Drown out the anxiety. Make a praise list and the problem list gets smaller. Anxiety comes with life. Anxiety comes with life. But it doesn't have to dominate your life. Speaking about this, Max Lucado said this, the path to peace is paved with prayer. Think about this passage. Instead of backing down to anxiety, change the way you face your fears and win the war on worry by inviting God into the arena instantly, specifically, mutually, and thankfully. With his help, you can find calm in the chaotic world. Now look what it says in verse 7. It says, you're doing these things. You're taking the time to slow down. You're praying right when you feel that anxiety, right? You're praying specifically about what it is you believe is giving you anxiety. And you're praying through, and you're getting others to pray with you, right? And you're thankful to God in this thing. Not for this thing, although, right? You found out one thing, they worked on one thing that saved you from another bigger thing. You remember, I remember, right? If they didn't do the one thing, it would have been a lot worse. It happens. Then he says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. There's something big there. Will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Notice something. The promise is not that the thing will go away. Oops. The problem is not that the thing will go away. You know what the promise is? It's better than that. The promise is that God will come to you. Johnny Erickson Tata said this, God is good not because he gives us answers, but because he gives us himself. Right. You know, a lot of times when you're dealing with people, you're trying to minister to people, just be there for them. That's what you do. You just be there for them. That ministry of presence. Just that comfort. Mommy and daddy knows, right? The child knows mommy and daddy's there. Now think about this. The peace of God, this is the peace of God. It's something about him. The peace of God is part of God. And it's beyond comprehension. Your situation is such you can't even figure it out. This is greater than that. It's beyond. It's not just this feeling that just overwhelms everything. It's you can't even imagine what it's like. Have you ever had that feeling? I have. A peace came about me. I don't even know why. But God's saying, I can get you there all the time. Anytime you have anxiety. That is what he's saying. Yes. It's beyond comprehension, but you can have it. God promises it. God says, you've got problems? Well, I've got peace, so come and get it. That's what he's saying in this text. Don't limit this text. Don't limit yourself. Don't limit what God wants to do in his grace. He's not trying to beat you down with law. He's saying, you got anxiety? We all have anxiety, but I've got something better for you. I've got this peace that's bigger than that. I'll show you me through that. Come and get some. Anybody want it? You sound like you're too much at peace. You see, God humbles your proud heart and teaches you to trust less in your own abilities to understand and control things and more about placing your trust in him. Now, we read Psalm 131 this morning. Psalm 131, verse 1 says this. David says, I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. Again, we could hear law, we could hear grace. We could hear law saying, you just trust me and just shut up. You don't need to be a doctor. You don't need to be a lawyer. You don't need to discover what you think about the end times or how I created the universe or anything like that. Just shut up and be faithful. That's not what he's saying. I like being inquisitive. I do want to know certain things. But you've got to know yourself and help God to know you, to know how far you can go with that before it's just ramping you up. See, David isn't saying you shouldn't grow in knowledge or try to understand things. Rather, what David knows is there are things that are beyond his comprehension, things that are outside his realm of responsibility. Your child doesn't know you. Why? And you can't, just because I said so. And sometimes it is that. But you got to reach that point. It's fine to try to understand things. Job did, but what did God finally do? He says, I'm me. Some things remain too great and too marvelous for you because they're not meant for you to know and understand. You see, now here's where you got to be honest with God and honest with yourself. Sometimes you might desire to know why certain things are happening in your life so that you might, in some sense, control things in your life. But this can be one of, if not the greatest source of anxiety in your life. Remember how Jesus said, you need to become as a little child, right? What did he mean by that? He certainly didn't mean you should never grow up. Develop your understanding of things. In fact, the Apostle Paul says we are to grow up, that you're no longer to be like a child. So what does a childlike faith mean? Just this then. Little children look to their parents when they don't understand something. They don't always get understandable results and understandable answers, but they always get love, guidance, and protection. They get the parent. They get the attention. Right? They get the love. They get the support. The child in humility knows they can look to their parents in trust. Yes. And Jesus said you should be like one of them. You can save yourself a lot of fretting, a lot of heartache, a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of unnecessary anxiety by recognizing that some things are just too great and too marvelous for you. God never intended you to be able to understand and explain everything. Be humble before God and pray. You don't have to have all the answers for all the happenings in life. Some things are outside your limited comprehension or your realm of responsibility. You won't understand it all. But you can know the one who does understand it all, and that's greater. I don't understand everything about the internal combustion engine or how to drive that car or the electricity or anything like that, but I'm glad I can drive it. As you come to him, the one who does understand and is controlling it all, if you come to him in humility, he'll give you a peace that passes your understanding of things. See that? A peace of God that passes all understanding. Your understanding says, this is not going to work out. Your understanding says, I have no way out. Your understanding says, I'm just going to be like this forever. Your understanding says, I can do the math, A plus B equals C, and it does not add up, and no one's going to help me, and there's nothing I can happen. I don't know what to do. God made the universe out of nothing. You just need to trust him and say, I'm going to put all my cards on the table. I'm going to turn over every stone, do what I'm supposed to do, and I'm anxious about it because I don't see the answer, but I know you are the answer. He gives you a peace that passes your understanding of things. My understanding of things is it stinks. His peace is greater than that. It can overcome your understanding of things. There's times you just need to slow down and speak to God. Without him, you get overwhelmed by your anxieties. But with him, you'll be overcome by his loving peace. So let me ask a question. What are you anxious about? I'm not saying, what are you anxious about? You ought not to be anxious. I'm saying, what is it? Is it, I don't think we're going to get the building permit, and they're going to keep us from doing that, and I already spent $20,000? Right? Is it, I'm going to pick on you. I'm this age now, and who's going to take over after us? Because I'm not certainly going to do it, in case you were going to ask. Can't do it. But then again, who am I to say that I don't know how what it takes when God might say, excuse me, neither did he. God calls the gifted No. God gives the call. He does. He's doing all this together. We don't understand how it all works. We don't understand how we're going to pay for the school. Now we got two, and another one's coming up, and he's definitely going to school. Right? How are we going to do this? Oh, no, my beautiful daughter is 13 years old. What are we going to do? Right? I'm... Everybody in my family's dying, and look, I'm the one that's next. What am I going to do? Wear crazy socks. I don't know. We had one baby. Now we have two. This is Citrus County. I'm never going to be able to make enough money to pay for these kids and live the life I want. Oh, I found a good church, but no one seems to want me in their little circle. Oh, I thought this was going so good, but I just don't know. It's in your family, your relationships, your finances, your health, the future. Corrie Ten Boom said this, "Never worry about trusting an unknown future to a known God." What are you anxious about? It's time to pray instantly, specifically, mutually, and thankfully.